Shavua Tov, today's daf in Masechet Kiddushin, brought to you from Yerushalayim Mirakedesh, is daf Ayin Vov. So we interrupted because we were discussing what to do about the the time of the shir. So I'd like to start again from daf Ayin Heomid Beis. And we spoke about Sholosh. We got up to Elok Yasa Ravin, Amr Pchia Bar Abba, Amr Yochanan. So there were three different groups of Chachomim. We had a very difficult time trying to figure out what the Shita is of Rabbi, it says Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah, but the correct Yerza seems to be Rabbi Lazar. And we didn't understand exactly what was going on with the Kusim. How would you say that Kusim are not allowed to marry, intermarry within themselves? So there were a number of issues here. One was the question of whether Kusim are Geri Arayis, and the other one was the question of whether a guy that was a Baal Bas Yisroel, whether the child is a mamzer or not. And then there were other issues of whether there were these chashashas of mixture of others. We weren't able to get a clear-cut understanding because every time we came up with something, it turns out that the people that were supposedly saying that halacha actually didn't hold what it was based on. So finally, the Gemara is coming out that it turns out that there's three different approaches to how we look at these kutim. Shalosh machlokot bedavar. So first, let's take Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel holds that kutim gerei arayotein. And now, even though it mentions vayasula miktzotam kohanei bamot, which obviously seems to have something to do with the story, even though what in the world would the difference be if there were kohanim that were nitbu man? So Rabbi Shmuel holds that they weren't really gerim, and they were just scared into gerus because they were terrified of the lions that were attacking them. And the kohanim that it mentions that they made miksotam kohanei bamot, those were kohanim psulim. And if that's the meaning, then we'd have to understand that kotsim miksotam means they were like kotsim. They were psulim. Now, the question is what in the world that has to do with anything. I mean, it's enough to say, l'chora, that they were actually not gerei emes. And why is it important for us to include the issue of the kayani, in which it would say, mishumachi, pasilino, they pasled the kusim because of the fact that they were kohanim? How exactly does that count? So, the Tosfos Ritz says that the must be that when it says over here that the kohanim are the kitzim, it means they were mamish mamzerim, because his lashon is the ikohanim chalolim mabekach. Who cares if they went ahead and they married into the kusim? Elavadai mamzerim are you? In which case, each one becomes a suffix mamzer, and then we'd have to deal with each separately. So you never know which one is a mamzer and which one is kosher. Whereas Rabbi Akiva holds, kutim are actually gerei emes. The kayanim that were nitmu bam were dafka toanim ksherim. And he understands miktsotam. Miktsotam means, omar abba barbachonam rabbi yochanan, miktsotam means from the best, minabachirim shala'am. So then what would be the problem? Why in the world did they make the kusim asurim, like we said over here? Then what exactly would the suffix be if you're telling me that they were real gerim? And the kohanim that were with them were not only ksherim, but they were mamish, all from the best. I mean, even if they were chalolim and they weren't from the best and the best, I mean, it's not gonna create problems. So what exactly would be the question over here? Turns out that they held that you do yibum to arusot, which of course is the halacha. You do yibum to arusot. In other words, suppose a man marries a woman without getting yet to the chuppah, and he dies before he got to the chuppah. So they said, you need to do yibum for the arusa, which is true. That part is true. The problem is that they said only the arusa, but the nesuas don't need yibum. So then that would mean, because of that, they allowed these women to go ahead and be over on the Isser of Lo Tiesh Samesh Achutzo L'Yisar. But since this is Rabbi Akiva Shita, Rabbi Akiva holds that a Isser Lav actually creates Mamzeres. So since this was their normative halacha, it turns out that there were a lot of mamzerim. Wherever there was a case of yibum like that, which is pretty standard yibum, that the woman was married for several years before her husband died, and over there they said there was no din of chiyuv of yibum or chalitza. Where in the world, says the Gemara, they get such a crazy idea? Sounds rather strange, no? So my darshe, where did they come up with that one? Well, they said, look, it says in the pasuk, lo tia eshet hamet achutza leisha, right? So we understand that to mean the eshet hamet should not marry out to someone who is not a brother. But they learned that it meant that the chutza, the eshet hamet hachutza, the chutza is a definition of what type of eshet hamet. An eshet hamet who is chutza, meaning she never actually ended up in the chuppah with this guy. She's not allowed to marry an ishzar, right? So hachti yot v'chutza yi loti ala ishzar. But the one that was actually married, so she's not a chutznik, she is a pnimnik. So the pnimnik is allowed to marry anybody she wants. Wild stuff, huh? Aval hachti lo yot v'chutza, she could marry whoever she wants, and tiyele izar, so she can marry without Yibum or Chalitza. Now, since they therefore were over on that Isser Lav, and we're talking about Rabbi Akiva Shita over here, so this is Rabbi Akiva Lataymi, because Rabbi Akiva holds that even Chayve Lavim create Mamzeras. So that means if the Kusim were Gerei Emes, then they're in big trouble, because now we have Mamzerim with them. And because of that, there are Surim, the Yeshomrim. And then there was another approach, and that was, which is not clear what it means, Lufisha ein bekim b'dikduke mitzvahs. And we're going to see that this is actually what Rebbe Lazar holds. And we see this from other places as well, that this is the sheet of Rebbe Lazar. So even though they are kosher gerim, and even though they think they're doing their best, but Lamaisa, they don't know the details of certain mitzvahs. Okay, what does that mean? First of all, where do we see that shita? Man yesh omrim, that be'etzem, they would really be doing things correctly. And they really are kosher gerim. The only reason that we have a problem with them is because they're not careful, because they think they know, but they don't know. So whose shita is that? Omer Vidi Baravin, that's the shita of Rabbi Elazar. Now, even though it says Rabbi Eliezer, but we know in Gittin that this is Rabbi Elazar, and the whole sugyas are going a little bit Rabbi Elazar. And so because of that, I mean, the Achronim are Metakin, the Losha to be Rabbi Elazar, which is very reasonable. Titania, so where do we have this question? Are you allowed to eat matzah of Akuti? In other words, is he capable of doing Shmira on a matzah, that it shouldn't become chametz? So it says over here, yes, because they can certainly bake a matzah, and they want to bake a matzah, that would not be chametz. And what's more, the Tanna Kamma holds, they can even do it lishma. So even though we know that the mitzvah ushmartem et ha-mitzvot, you need matzah shmura, you can even be yotze the chiyav, not just allowed to eat it because it's not chametz, but you can even rely on it as matzah shmura. Ve'adam yotzeba yidei chovato bePesach on the first night, and even for that they had the right kavana, you can also rely on them. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says, no, you're not allowed to eat it at all, even not on the first night, even not to be yotze the mitzvah. Why? So since there's an awful lot of dinim legabe chimutz, and some of the more detailed issues they don't know about, so let's say maybe they don't know about the difference that heat makes, or they don't know the difference of it's being in the sun, and so on and so forth. Maybe they have the wrong shiurim, maybe they have the wrong indication of what is the moment of chimutz. Because of that, you can't rely on that. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, what do you mean can't? They're even better than Jews. But the klal is kol mitzvah shechziku bakutim. If you know that they actually keep a particular mitzvah, so then you can rely on them even more than you would rely on a Yisrael. So in other words, if this is something that is a beferish in the Torah, and they hold of the Torah, they just don't know the dinim that the Chachamim gave on the Torah. So according to that, you can actually, even if this particular halacha may be a halacha that is derived from diyukim in the pasuk, and therefore it needs the Chachamim, that doesn't mean necessarily that they're not going to keep that mitzvah. If you know for a fact that they end up, there's no rhyme and reason to these things, right? So people that do things their own way, you know, so sometimes they do it right, sometimes they don't do it right. So if they happen to accept the details of a particular mitzvah, then we know that they're crazy careful about how they do it. But anyway, the bottom line is, so, I mean, this binogea the dinim of matzah. So basically, the machlokas is that aliba de tanakama, you can only be semech on them on something that's beferish in the Torah. Whereas Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, he holds that you can be semech on them even from a halacha that's a diorais that isn't beferish, as long as you know that they are actually makbet to keep it. But meanwhile, agabe arshita, arsurkia, Sir Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Elazar, according to the girsa we're adopting, so he holds that because they don't know the subtleties of the halachas, so that's exactly what the Yesh Omrim said. That's why not to marry into the kusim. Why would that be? Because alahachi mayen bekiyin, there's a lot of dinim, of teras kiddushin v'gitin, tremendous number of dinim, right? In which something that nobody would have realized will possibly get, can possibly get, somebody would think that this is not considered to be Kedushin, it is considered to be Kedushin, and so on. So the bottom line is that a lot of their women are essentially Eshes Ish, and they're sleeping with other guys that, according to their halacha, are perfectly okay to be their husbands. But then that means that they are mixed with all kinds of mamzerim. So because of that, they can't even marry each other. Because since one might be a mamzer and the other one might not be a mamzer, and since because of that we can't give a general halacha, and apparently we need to hold over here, because if they're gerim, why can't they marry mamzerim? So you have to say lechora that he holds according to the shita that gerim are also b'mamzerim, and that would explain why they can't marry each other, unless you want to say that it's because of the original thing that we said, that these kayanim, because here it doesn't explain what the din of the kayanim was, so it could be that maybe the kayanim, who obviously were Jewish, because of that, maybe their children are mamzer. And it wasn't because, okay, but that's a little bit of a push, because the Gemara doesn't involve those kayanim over here. It just talks about enam v'kiyam b'taras gittin v'kiddushin. Omer Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, it has nothing to do with any of this. You know, you guys are making it like this big shita and a reasonable halacha. It has to do with the Maisa Shahaya. It does not have to do with the overall status of the Kutim. What happened was, that we know for a fact that there was Mamzer Me'achoto, U'Mamzer Me'esha Sa'ach Nitarvu Behem. So they had this family too. We had one Mamzer that came from a relationship between a brother and a sister. And we had another one that came from a relationship with a brother's wife. And because of that, we know for a fact that these mamzerim were mixed in with them. It has nothing to do with the question of whether they created mamzeris. I understand. I mean, so, okay, so what's the point? What's the point? Why weren't they makbet on it? Because yevzam mamzer mechayv grisas. I mean, that's the point. So fine. So say one of those two things. I mean, what do I need to know? That one mamzer was from an achot, one mamzer was from Eshet Tach. I mean, it's totally irrelevant to the halacha that you're trying to tell us. It is totally irrelevant. I'm telling you over the Maisa Shehoya. Maisa Shehoya, kachaya. I'm not telling you. That's the whole point, is that I'm trying to explain to you that the reason is not this fundamental reason. It was this high and mighty ignorance in which they weren't makbid on the irvuv of the mamzerim. I'm telling you what happened. Rava says, the Maisa Shehoya was that an eved and a shivcha when it's Arvo Behem. Okay, so what's the problem exactly with an Eved? I thought this is, Rava himself holds that the halacha is that an Eved, an Akum, with a Bas Yisrael, it's not a Mamzer. So how come Rava all of a sudden saying this is a big problem? So, okay, so big deal. So Yisurim Mishumai, so what's the problem? So then I understand there's a problem because of the Shifcha. Fine. So the Shifcha would mean that the child of a Shifcha is an Eved. Okay, that's a problem. You're not allowed to marry an Eved. But then why not just say that? Why did you mention the fact that Eved v'Shifcha nitarvu behem, nisnei chodah? Again, because Rav also was telling you, this is not a big svara issue. It's ma'aseh shaya kachaya. Bottom line was that we have a chashash that there are avodim in the family that they're not makbidans because of that. They basically told you to stay away from them. And now we are ready for our kapitan, who is placed directly, but I mean directly, beneath Doc. And if you want to know what Doc is holding in his hands, you can ask him to hold it up, but I would advise to basically remain innocent. And go ahead, Rich. So now we get into the question. Remember that we had an issue before. Do we consider women in general to be ksherot? Or do we always have the chashash? This was how we started, and it turns out that it was a machlokas, Rebbe Meir, in which he was being makbid, that you have to be chashash for everyone. So this Mishnah seems to be taking that approach, and it says that hanosei isha kohenet. So if somebody wants to go ahead, now somebody means what? So Tosfos holds, the issue of the somebody is a Kohen. A Kohen wants to marry. So he needs to be very makbid. Again, according to Tosfos, he needs to be very makbid on the question of Psulei Kohuna. Now, that's not how Rashi understands it. Rashi does understand it, that we're being makbid specifically on Kohanim, but not because of the Psulei Kohuna. What we're looking at over here is also Psulei Kahal. So what we're looking at is not to find out if she's a Chalala, but we need to find out if there's any Mamzerut. Okay, so this is a big discussion whether Rashi disagrees fundamentally, and he's talking about maybe even anybody then, because why would it be only a Kohen if he's talking about the problem is that maybe there's Mamzerus? So why would we say a Kohen the way Tosfos understands it? Okay, so some learn that even Rashi is made that it's only a din in Kayanim, but that's because the Torah was more makbid on Kayanim. So since the dinim of who a Kohen is allowed to marry are more chumur, so because of that, the Rabbanan put a chumra also on determining the suitability of a woman to marry. But Einachinami, it's not because there's more likely to be a psul Lagabi the Kuna. Okay, so we have big machlokas on two issues then. Are we referring to anyone and are only to a Kohen? And are we referring to Psulei Kahal? Or are we referring to Psulei Kuhuna? So, Hanosei Shakohenet. So again, the most reasonable approach is that both Rashi and Tosfos agree that we're talking about a Kohen who is coming to marry. And the reason it says Hanosei Shakohenet is because the norm is that someone who a Kohen who wants to get married, he's going to want to marry into a family of Kohanim, like we saw back in Ksuvahs, and special amounts that the Kohanim take for the Ksuvah, and so on. So I know Zeisha Kohenes means that there is a Kohen who wants to marry. He needs to check the woman in four different mothers, which end up being eight different mothers. Now, this is two from the side of the woman's mother, and two from the side of her father. Okay, so it starts really with four. Let's first talk about the four women, the two and the two, so that we don't get mixed up. So we have her mother, and we also have her grandmother, but it's referring to her grandmother I'm saying the four basic, and we'll expand. But the four basics are her own mother, and then her mother's father's mother. Okay, so that's all from the tzad of the maternal side. Now let's take a look at the paternal side. So we have her grandmother, her paternal grandmother, meaning, so that's her father's, we're talking about over here, her father's mother, and also her grandfather, again, paternal grandfather, and his mother, not just her, the father's mother, but the grandfather's mother. So we start off with four mothers, two on each side of the family. But the truth is that we have to be bodek the mothers of those mothers, which basically gives us eight mothers. So that would mean her own mother and that mother of that mother, and also the mother of the father of her mother and the mother of that mother. So that's how it gets to be eight. The aim of Via, and also the mother of her father plus her mother, and Ema Viavia, the mother of her grandfather, meaning for her paternal grandfather, and that mother, which gives us a total of eight women that we're going to have to check out. The Gemara is going to ask why we're only looking at the women for all of this. Now, suppose a Kohen wants to marry a Leviya or wants to marry a Yisraelis, then it's not enough to check out just these eight. He has to add not only the mothers over here, but also the maternal grandmothers of the four that we talked about. The two from the mother's side, the two from the father's side, and we have to add also the maternal grandmothers, more than what we did over here, which now brings us, as we'll see, we're going to have a little bit of a machlokas about how much we're talking about over here, but that means that we're adding another four, or maybe, which will be the 12, or maybe even more, as we'll see. Now, if any one of these bedikas turns out that the father that we're looking at, so one of these women's grandfathers was a Kohen, and he was actually working in the Mizbeach, you don't have to check his mother and his grandmother and so on. Because remember that in the Lishkas HaGozis, they checked out every single Kohen that would work on the Mizbeach and every single Levi that would be singing on the Duchan. And you can rely 100% on that Bedika. And therefore, there's no need for you to look any further. So we don't check once we hit, in any of these relatives, once we hit someone that was in the Mizbeach, then we don't need to look any further. Once we hit someone, if he was a Levi that was singing on the Duchan, we don't have to look any further. And what if we hit someone who was actually a Dayan in Sanhedrin? No problem. V'chol shehuchzeku avotav, mishotrei harabim, v'gabai tzedakah, wherever you have someone, you hit one of these people, and they were, now normally we know, shotrei harabim means people that are enforcing the court's decision. Here, it doesn't make sense to say that. And Rashi, as we'll see, and Rashi therefore says that when we're talking about over here, shotrei harabim, what we actually mean is dayanim that were not in Sanhedrin, but they were dayanim that were accepted locally. For local besin, three dayanim and so on, that's called shotrei harabim in this context. We'll see why. V'gabai tzedakah, and anyone who was appointed to be a gabbai tzedakah, then we can actually rely on that and may see in the kahuna, and ein tzarich livdok achareim, as if they were kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yossi Omer, you could take it further than that. Anyone who was ever signed as an aide in the town of Yishana, but they had over there a bezin that was very makbid, not to accept a signature on anything that came out of bezin. So if it was in the Arki HaYishana, now this city of Yishana is near Tzipori. Remember, we also had the Ir Chadasha before in Yehuda, right? It's fascinating. And Rashi points that the interrelationship of it is very, very interesting. So, okay, maybe because, you know, in Tzipori they had Barnea investigating anything old, so they had a special town called Yeshana where he would be able to hang out. In Yehuda they weren't that interested in archaeology, so maybe they Bedavka held him in a town called Chadasha to keep him out of their business.
Yeshana was a sleepy little town.
Very good. Very good. Okay. Rabbi Chanina ben Atigna Somer, anybody who was listed in the Istratia Shomelech, and it turns out in the Gemara that this is a reference to the army of David HaMelech, and they also were very makbid, only to have miyuchasim, because they didn't want anyone who was not completely perfect to be in the army, to be maradinim against the army of Yisrael. Now, wait a minute, says the Gemara. This whole thing is weird. Why are we looking at mothers and only at mothers? Mothers, mothers of mothers, mothers of fathers. I mean, like, what, there's no problem with the fathers? There's only problems with mothers? Yes, you see, because when women fight with each other, the things that, you never hear a woman calling another woman, you mamzeret. Did you ever hear such a thing? Never. But you certainly hear them calling you whore. And yes, that you do hear. So when they fight with each other, what they fight about is their personal sexual behavior. But when men fight, they talk about their yichus, right? So, you mamzer, okay. So, therefore, if there was really a problem, so it will show up early in the male, because anytime that they get into a fight, somebody's going to bring up their yichus, right? Masha ain't came with the nashim, they won't bring up their yichus. So therefore, nashi dechiminsu ba'alehatadi ba'arayotu deminsu im ita di ika milta. If there's a wrong yichus, nobody's going to mention it. Elohitoi kala. And that's why we need to check it out, because it never came up. Mashenken gavre dechiminsu ba'alehatadi. They always are insulting the other party with yichus. So im ita di ika milta itle kala. If there is something that would have come up that is a question of his yichus, then you can be guaranteed that somebody would have dug it up and would have used it in an argument. And therefore, it must be that if we didn't hear such a thing, we don't have to look into it further. Fine. So now there's another implication. I mean, I understand that if somebody's coming to marry a kohenet, but what about the other way around? Doesn't a kohenet have to check, like, that her husband is okay? So, inami tivdok be bedidei. So, why would she not need to look into him? I mean, maybe he's someone that is aser to the kohuna. Ah, misayei leila rav. And this indeed is a very strong raya to what Rav said before. The general rule is that ksheirais of kohanot are not asurot at all to marry psulim. So in other words, all of the issues of the chalalah, the ger, and so on and so forth, they do not apply to the kisheres of the kuhuna. They only apply to the zohar, and the entire thing is said in the context of b'nei Aaron and not of b'nos Aaron. So because of that, even if you're going to tell me, but she's certainly asura in a mamzer, no, yes, but remember, we only said that this, first of all, according to Tosfos, is not a problem, because we're checking only for psulei kohuna. But even if you're saying, according to Rashi, that we're checking for things like mamzerus, but the point is that we were only checking for kohanim. So if the basis of the check is a chumrah, because since the Torah was so makbid, we're going to add these checks. Okay, so then if the Torah wasn't makbid on the woman of the Kohanot, we're not going to add these checks for them. The same reason. We're taking our cue from what the original halacha is, midiraisa. Now, Rav Anna bar Ava had a braita about how many people you have to check. You have to check arba imahot. Yes, we spoke about the arba imahot, two from each side. Those were the primaries. And then each one of them you had to check out, which made it eight. But Rav Anna bar Ava said in the Braisa, No, it's actually 12. So we only needed those four basic women and their mothers. And he's saying, no, you need to look not only at the mother, you need to look at the grandmother, meaning the mother of all those mothers. So what's going on? And then there's also another price that makes it even worse. There's true, there's only four primary women, two from the side of the father, two from the side of the mother of this prospective bride. But that actually means 16 mothers. Oy, oy, oy. So, okay, Bishlam, Lurvada Barava, I could say it makes sense because our Mishnah also has 12. Because it says that when you're marrying a Leviya or a Bas Yisrael, it says you have to add one more. So if you add one more, so then you're right. Then you end up with 12. We had 8 and we're adding one more. But the second thing that it said in the Bright over here, 16. So apparently it argues on our Mishnah. Maybe our it holds that you always start with 12. It says the Gemara, no. Because what you could say is that the Mishnah actually meant that also. When the Mishnah said over here that you have to add one, doesn't mean one. It means one additional level, one pair. Now, one pair, every time that we had a mother, we said we have to check out that mother and her mother. So then that would mean, by definition, that by adding one zug, we're actually, we've got the four primaries, and then we've got their four mothers. And now we're adding that in the case where you're talking about Levi and Yisrael, you need to have also the mothers of them, of those four mothers, and the maternal grandmother, the mother of all those four. And that's 16. So maybe that's how the Braita has the understanding in the Mishnah. So now, what is the meaning over here? That every time somebody wants to get married, again, we have Machlokas, whether that means Dafka Kohen, as Tosus understands, perhaps Rashi understands, big Machlokas, how to read Rashi, but many understand that Rashi is also saying Dafka Kohen has, because of later on, Rashi, even though at the point he doesn't say it later, he says it. But this would mean that we're out, we didn't have any reason that we should be chayish, that there was something wrong with these women, and we're saying that what, every time you go ahead and want to marry? You have to do like a whole genealogy thing? Yeah, remember? This was the shita that we have, Rabbi Meir. But the Chachamim, remember we said, Kol Mishpachot, we argued on that whole thing about Isa, Eretz Yisrael, Bavel, and we said, Kol Mishpachot Becheskat Kashrut Einam Dot. We have a standing Cheskas Kashrus. And therefore, unless there was some problem, so somebody brought up an RR, and said we had witnesses that said that there was an issue and that someone was a mamzer that got mixed in with it. But if not, why would you need to go and check her out? The cheskas kashrus is sufficient to always provide the halacha. We don't do more than a cheskas kashrus unless, of course, something happens. But the general rule is lo machzikinan isura. We don't go out to find isurim. And therefore, since we have a cheskas kashrus, this Mishnah makes no sense. What? Is that true? That's really what Rav said? Rav Yudah claims that's what Rav said? But Ha'omer of Chama Bar Gurya Amar Rav, that actually our Mishnah is talking about a case where there was a Kriyat Arar. So in other words, there were people that had said Edus, wasn't direct Edus, but that they had heard that there was a problem with this woman. And that's the reason that it says over here, which means it's not going like Rabbi Meir. Because according to Rabbi Meir, you have to check anybody. It's going dafk according to the Chachamim, and the Chachamim are the ones who say, you rely on a cheskas kashrus unless there's RR. So therefore, if Rav said that the Mishnah is talking only about a case of RR, so then it's the opposite of what Rav Yudah Amar Rav said, that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Meir. So what's going on? Here Rav Chama Bar Gurya says, no, on the contrary. Actually, Rav holds that it's going to Chachomim. You're right. Fine. 100%. It's true. There was a Machlokas, which we also often find, that we have a Machlokas of what Rav came out with in the end. So, You can't hold both of these things, obviously. So apparently, Rav Yehuda and Rav Chama Bar Guria have its two shitas aliba de Rav, which we find very often. Now, there's a whole different Ika de Amre about how this whole discussion started. That Ika de Amre Amr Rav Yehuda Amr Rav Zu Divrei Rabbi Meir. Aval Chachamim Omrim Kol Mishpachot Pekheskas Kashrus Hin Omdot. And Omer of Chama Bar Guria Omar Rav, that in the event that Koreal of RR, then even according to the Chachamim Tzorech Livdok Acharea. So according to the way it's said over here, they weren't arguing about what the case was in the Mishnah, because he wasn't saying what the din is in the Mishnah. He was just saying what the halacha would be. I agree with you 100%. The Mishnah is going out, Libet Rabbi Meir, and according to Chachomim, this would not be the halacha. However, you should know that even according to the Chachomim, in the event that there was a Kriyat Arar, so then they would end up saying the same thing, and that's Tzorech Livdok Acharea. So there's no contradiction in what Rav said, according to this approach. Ein Bodkin, Mina Mizbeach, Vilamala. Why not? Because if they hadn't been bedek him in the Lishkas Hagazis, and lo avi maskele, how in the world would he have been working on the Mizbeah? Velomen aduchan velomala, my taima, the Omar Mar, when we were talking about what was the purpose of the Lishkas Hagazis, so one of the things that it says over there, the Shama Hayu Yeshvim, umiyachasim hakuhun, umiyachasim alaviyah. So then that means, according to this approach, that a Levi also needed to be cleared by the Lishkas Hagazis, the Bezdin Shalshim and Viyachat, to make sure that his Yichus was 100%. So, you know, this is why our own singer over here has got this big Ksav Yichus on the wall. He wants to make sure that he is selected in terms of the singing in the Beis HaMikdash. He's not taking any chances.
Velomi's son. This is a verb for people who are
miyachasim. You're talking which lashon?
Miyachasim kuna miyachasim leviyah. Does Rabbi understand that this is a verb or people?
No. The people who were miyachasim. How could it be a verb? Miyachasim. How could miyachasim be a verb?
Oh, very good. Thank you.
V'lo misanhedrin v'mala. Why not? Because the Tani Rav Yosef, Kishem Shebeit Din Minukim Bitzedek, Kach Minukim B'chol Mum. So the same way that we need to be able to rely to the Dinim of Tzedek, so too they need to know me, Minukim B'chol Mum, which we're understanding to mean Mum in terms of a problem of Yichus. Omar Maremar, where do we see this in the Pasuk? Kulach Yafara Ayati Umum Einbach. So it's referring, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking to the Sanhedrin, that you need to be, I mean, what else could it be? It can't be referring to all of Klal Yisrael, the Mum Ein Bach, certainly are Pesuvah Yichas. But those that represent the Dinim of the Torah and so on, Kulach Yafa. I said, but why do you say that Mum Ein Bach means that you don't have any Pesuvah Yichas? Maybe it means exactly what it says, Mum Ein Bach. You know, the whole Shir HaShirim is talking about physical things. Why would we say it's talking about Yichusim? Why isn't he just saying, you're very beautiful, which means that we don't accept someone with a physical mum? But where does it say anything about Yichus? Omer Havach Bar Yaakov. Actually, the mocker that you can't have for Pagam and Yichus is from Omer Kro, that it says over there that Meshur Abenu was supposed to gather the Shivim, and it says, Yitiatzvu Sham Imach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole Maisa, where he says, Me'ain Li Basar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to appoint all of these people. So we had 70 people, and they're supposed to be there to stand with you. What's the trap with you? When we say Im, we mean Doime, right? Shvulacham Po Imach Hamor. So if we're talking about Doime Lechamor, in this case, we're saying Doime to Maisha. Yitiatzvu sham imach, imach bedomim lecha. So just like Moshe did not have any kind of psul yichus, so too all of the dayanim that he was appointing couldn't have a psul yichus. Yeah, but that's a special case. That wasn't just any old Sanhedrin. He was calling them together because it says over there that they were going to also get Nevi'ahs, right? Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to share his Ruach with them. And that we know. I mean, we had that before. That in order to be Zeichet to Ruach HaKadosh, in fact, the din is that you have to be not a P'sul Yichus. So there it makes sense. But how do we know that that's true about a regular Sanhedrin? Omer of Nachman, you're right. The place that we learn that from is when it says, V'akel me'alecha, and this was the Eitzah of Yisrael. This is not talking about a Sanhedrin of Shivim that was supposed to get Ruach HaKadosh. This was what Yisrael was saying, that we need a Sanhedrin of Shivim in order to help you out. And it says over there, V'nasu itach, and itach means bedomim lach. We have to be similar to you. And just like Moshe did not have any mum in Yichus, so too the Sanhedrin did not have a mum in Yichus. Call me, shu'urzak avotav mishotrei harabim. So anybody, and we said that this means that this was somebody who would be a member of even a Bezdin, not a Sanhedrin, so a Bezdin of Shlosha, also must be that he was also without any kind of mum. What is that supposed to mean? That lamema delomo kmina mipsuli? What, we have to have somebody that is kosher with Yichus in order to be in any Bezdin? V'raminu, it says beferish not like that in Sanhedrin. It says, hakol k'sherim ladun dine mamanus, but ain't hakol k'sherim ladun dine nefashas. And we asked over there, when you say hakol, everybody, meaning what? And Rav Yudah said, meaning mamzerim. So if the halacha is that a mamzer is allowed to be the judge, so how does the Mishnah say that over here, he has to be kosher in terms of his yichus? Amrabaye, this does not mean every Bezdin. It means in Yerushalayim specifically. V'chein tani Reb Shimon bar Zera b'kiddushin de Beis Levi, when they were learning kiddushin in the Beis HaMedrash of Levi, that this is talking about Yerushalayim. And then you say gaba etzedakah. So why gaba etzedakah is supposed to be for sure a kosher yichus? Ah, that's because anybody who's in a gabay tzedakah is going to be the subject of an awful lot of hatred. And once people hate you, they're going to dig up any piece of dirt that they could say about you. So these gabay tzedakah, they're going to walk into somebody's house on an Erev Shabbos, and the guy's busy, they're going to say, you didn't give enough tzedakah to our charity fund, and we have anim that require more tzedakah, and therefore we're very sorry, but we're making off with your TV. On an Erev Shabbos, you're taking away my TV. What am I going to do on Shabbos? So anyway, the first thing they say to him, you mamzer! Okay, so then that means that they will dig up anything that they could possibly dig up. So because of that, since it says b'mashkenim al tzedakah afilu b'erev Shabbos, and people are very nervous on Erev Shabbos, so im ita the ika, if there was a pigam, so then for sure we would have heard about it. And therefore, so normally it's true, we hear about a man, but that's because, you know, men would fight between themselves. But over here, forget about the guy himself. Because people are trying to dig up any kind of dirt, they'll go back 10 generations and dig up dirt on him. So because of that, we know that that is for sure nothing that needs to be investigated. It was actually a maysa where Ushpezichme Duravada Barava Gyorahave. You remember, we had a discussion about this before, and the idea over here is the guy who was hosting, you know, they used to have different people would host Talmidim. And this guy, he was hosting Ravada Barava, and it turns out he wasn't a Ger himself, but he came from a family of Gerim, and he was in a big fight with Rav Bivi, because they both wanted to be the mayor. So Mara Mar Anavid Nasura Ruta Damata, one was saying, I should be the mayor of the town. Umar Omar Anavid Nasura Ruta Mata, who's better for to be the mayor than me? Okay, so they went to Rav Yosef that he should decide who it should be the mayor. Because after all, one guy was claiming they stole the election. Omar lohu. So Rabbi Yosef said, look, it says beferish that in the Braita, the Pasuk of Som Tasim Alecha Melech Mikerav Achecha, why does it say Som Tasim Mikerav Achecha? That teaches us that Kol Misimot Shata Mesim Lo Yehel Mikerav Achecha. Even just to be the mayor of the town, it also needs to be Mikerav Achecha. And since you are a ger, so you can't be the mayor. So Rav Ada Bar Ava, who was just the yeshiva kid that was being hosted by this guy, asked Rav Yosef, Afilo Imo Mi Yisrael? Would you say that even though his mother is already a Yisraeli? Omar Lay, no, of course not. Imo Mi Yisrael is called Mikerav Achecha. Huh? So is that the case over here? Okay. So what we need to do is we need to make an arrangement about different elements in the town. Okay? So Rav Bibi, he's a big Talmud Chacham, right? So Gavur Rabbu. So therefore, it should be his arrangement as mayor that he should be in charge of things to do that have to do with Milei Dishmaya. So he can tell you who's going to give the shir on Shabbos. You know, it's like that guy who says, you know, my wife makes all, I make all the important decisions, you know. So I can tell you exactly who it is that we wage war on, what the level of taxes ought to be. I can tell you everything about our foreign policy and so on. It's the small things that my wife takes care of, you know. Like, what car we're going to buy, what furniture. Okay, fine. So he did the same thing over here. You'll be mayor because, you know, you can say who's going to say this year on Shabbos. No, but actually this would include things like appointing a boy tzedakah and so on. But as far as the other issues are concerned, that you should be the, you know, we don't know his name, but the host, he should actually be in charge of, you know, the small things. What the budget is for the town, how much taxes you have to pay in the town, et cetera, et cetera. Omar Abaye, you know, you see from here that if you're going to be taking a kid from the yeshiva to be hosted by you, make sure that you get someone like Rav Ada Bar Ava, you know, because he'll know to take your side whenever you get into trouble in court. So that's the guy that takes. This is the second maisa like this that we've had. Rabbi Zera would be mitapel bahu, and he would actually go out of his way to deal with the children of Gerim, and he would make them bedavka important people. Rabbi Baravua also would be mitapel bahu. Masha Enkin in Eretz Yisrael, they were very makbid, that afilu reish kori lo mukme minayu, they wouldn't even let them be the person that's in charge of you're checking at the gas stations to make sure that the gallons are correct and so on. Actually, they would go around and check the weights in the stores. And Benaharda, Afilu Resh Garguta, Lo Mukmi Minay, Resh Garguta, as they used to appoint someone to be in charge of who gets to water their field on a particular day to make certain that he's not taking water on a day that's not his turn. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Af Misha, it's actually interesting that Rabbi Misha Zatzal has this big shaila, that is Nogia, the two approaches, Rabbi Zera and the Din of the Marava, that someone was tining that to make someone a mashgiach in a yeshiva, he should not be a mashgiach in a yeshiva if he comes from a mishpachas gerim. And Rabbi Misha said, on the contrary, that we have such a mitzvah to be makar of gerim, you don't say things like that. The whole halacha of Som Tasim is only where you're using the Keach HaTorah to enforce things on people that is an enforcement al pi HaTorah. But things like this, to be a mashgiach in a yeshiva, to be a Rosh Yeshiva, that's like a business, you know. They can run any business they want. They could tell someone, we're throwing you out of the yeshiva, but that's not using the Keach of the Torah to define how a person should be treated. Very fascinating. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Omer, anybody who was even signed on in Yeshana, the little town, the sleepy town near Tzipori, is also in good position, because we don't have to check him out. My time, huh? Because Daike Umachtme in Yeshana, they were very careful only to have an aide who was actually without any Pesula Yichus, and apparently they kept a record of anybody that was possibly kosher or not. That's how apparently Rashi reads it. The Daike Umachtme, that first they would find out, and then they would put his name into the Edim list of kosher Edim. Rabbi Chanina ben Antigna Seimer, that even somebody who was in the Estrat, what is that exactly, Shom Malachim? What is it referring to? Omer Yerom Shmuel, that's referring to the Chayalot of Beit David. So anybody who was in, remember that David HaMelech had these entire groups of thousands that they would each be a month in the army, and then they would go home, and somebody else would take their place, and he would only take, in that army, he would only take people that were kosher. Omer of Yosef, why? Because it says, Beferish, in Divrei HaYomim, V'hid yachsam batzava b'milchama, that he would trace the yichus in cases of war. V'taim amai, Omer of Yudah, Omer Rav, why did David do that? Because we don't want soldiers to be going in just with their own schuyas. We want them to be bringing in the schuyas of the Doras HaKadmim. And in order to do that, you have to be properly related to the Doras HaKadmim. Well, wait a second over here. It has a list of the Giborim of David. And one of them is called Tzelek HaAmoni. I mean, if he's an Ammoni, then he's not kosher, right? Because Loyavo Ammoni. I mean, I'm assuming that Tzelek HaAmoni comes from Ammon, so apparently he did accept people that weren't Roy. No, it doesn't mean that he was an Ammoni. It means that he used to live in Ammon. Well, what about Uriah HaChiti? I mean, Chiti is one of the Psulim, right? So, my love, the Asi Bichet doesn't mean that he's a Ger that came from the Chitim. No, it means that he lived in the area of the Chitim. Well, what about Itai HaGiti? I mean, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me, well, apparently he lived in the town of Gat, right? But that's not true. Because we know about the halacha that Reb Nachman said, there was a whole maisa where they took this ridiculous Malcolm idol, right? It's called Malcolm. That's where the Malcolm comes from, on the goyim. And so it asks, so I understand, so how were they allowed? David HaMelech took a crown from an Avodah Zarah? Like, how is that possible? So Nachman said over there, well, one of his top guys was Itai HaGiti. Now, in order to be Mevatel on Avodah Zarah, you have to be a goy. So only a goy can be Mevatel on Avodah Zarah. So don't try to tell me that he's called Itai HaGiti because he lived in Gat. He obviously was originally a goy. The Yodomer of Yodomer Rav. How about the Arba Meot Yiladim, Ayula David, Kulam B'nei Yifat Toar Hayu, that David HaMelech had in his army these children, 400 children, that all came from Bnos Yifat Toar. And these guys were like, whoa, they were really, they had first of all, they were all beautiful. They had these incredible ponytails hanging halfway down their backs, and they had their heads shaved in the front, you know, which was the way that the rednecks used to grow their hair, and they were really scary looking. And not only that, they were very powerful. They were all riding around in these gold-covered Mercedes. I mean, this was like, woo. V'kulon yoshvi b'kronot shel zahav, and these were the guys that would ride in front of the rest of the army, you know, and they were like the Marines, and those were the ones that were called Bali Egrofim shel Beit David, and they all came from Yifos Tor, and that means that they weren't Jewish; they were from the original Bia of the Yifos Tor. Yes, but they were just psychological. They were Asli Levaute Alma. They went to scare the hell out of the enemy. They saw these guys coming. Oh, my God. You know, they figured these were the standard Jewish soldiers. But what was that movie called when they had this Jewish kid coming out scaring all the Nazis? We had something Bastards or something. I can't even remember. But anyway, so that's what... What was it?
The Glorious Bastards.
Glorious?
Inglorious.
The Inglorious. Well, these were glorious. So they were used basically only for psychological purposes. But apparently he wouldn't include them in the actual soldiery of the war.